Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Friends, this morning I want to focus on one simple yet significant word that not only serves as the springboard into a deeper, fuller, richer life as a disciple, but also one that serves, I believe, as a litmus test, for vitality in other compartments of life. One word that if pulled from our confines of pronunciation, one word that if pulled from the world of pronunciation and practiced as a posture for living, I think could result in some pretty powerful things. So what I want to do to introduce that one word is I want you to do something with me. Look to your friend to your left or to your right and say, brother, sister, just abide. There you go, amen. I want to take you to a piece of scripture that you'll find in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, verses 5 to 17, for the sake of clarity, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. We're focusing on this one word that means so much, abide. Abide. And Jesus introduces us to this concept here. Hear these words, John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I'm the vine, and if I'm the vine, you are the branches, and those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that you know my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I had heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. It's where we stop this morning. A living word of God for a living people of God. And we say, may God bless the reading and receiving of this word. There are 12 verses that we read from 5 to 17. In the midst of those 12 verses, brothers and sisters, you heard the word abide seven times. Seven times. Abide. Abide in love. Abide in me as I abide in you. You abide in my love as I abide in the Father. You abide in me as you obey my commandments. Abide. 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 The Greek word for abide is meno. M-E-N-O. Meno. And that word means some significant things. To remain, to reside, and here's one really important one, to rely. And by virtue of relying, that intimates some receiving that you'll get on your reliance to whatever you're abiding in. The Greek word meno for abide means to remain, to reside, and more importantly, to rely. With a very pregnant wife, the Steelhouse has been a place of constant preparation. I'm sorry, honey, I use you a lot as an illustration. I promise it's not as bad as the Incredible Hulk from last week. I paid a dear price for that, by the way, for those who were with us. But in the Steelhouse of the pregnant wife, it's been a place of preparation for a long period of time, brothers and sisters. My wife has cleaned, and she's cleaned again. She's doing what a lot of pregnant people do at this point in time, and it's called nesting, and we've nested. We've nested. She's cleaned and cleaned again. We've scheduled and we've organized, sorted, sort of baby clothes, fold them over. I think in the point in time last night, she was sorting clothes in her sleep. We prepared, cleaned, sorted, scheduled, prepped, planned. And brothers and sisters, part of that plan involves a list. Part of that plan includes a list that's tailor-made for Pastor Jake. And it's funny how seemingly overnight that list started as some requests. Honey, these are some things that I would like you to have done. The baby is going to come. Here's the list. This is what I would request of you. But that list seemingly overnight has morphed from requests to requirements. And one of my requirements, one of Pastor Jake's jobs was to assemble the baby bed when it came. And we didn't have all the parts for the baby bed. I had to wait for the extra part to come. But once the part came, it was ready to be assembled. And Pastor Jake's job, one of the requests that became requirements, became for me to be responsible for putting the baby bed together. And it came with a lot of carriage bolts and some screws and some washers and all of that, a lot of that kind of thing. And I knew in preparation to this bed would come in some pieces with a lot of stuff to put together. I got my drill ready. I have a cordless drill, and that drill, as you know, comes with a battery, and that battery has a docking station, a compartment. And what I did was I plugged the charger in, and I stuck the battery in, and I turned around and left, expecting that battery would charge. And I went to go and put the bed together, realizing that at this point I had to hand screw everything. Because what I didn't know was this. I put the battery in the charger, but I didn't stick it in all the way. And because of that, as a result, the battery didn't charge. And I knew, because when I popped the battery in and pulled the trigger, nothing happened. It was dead. And it taught me a really important lesson about abiding. You see, brothers and sisters, if abide means to remain and to reside, but also to rely, it was not enough for the battery to remain close to the docking station or to the charger. It wasn't enough for it to reside or to rest in the charger. It was not in a position to rely and thus receive power that it didn't have. To remain, to reside, and to rely. You can't be connected to that kind of power and not produce at some point. And I knew that it wasn't connected to that power because I pulled the trigger expecting it to work, and it did not. It was obvious. I'm learning things as a soon-to-be father again. And church, there is no more powerful a picture that's painted about abiding or the lessons therein. There's no more powerful a picture of what it means to abide than that of a baby in his or her mother's belly. Does the child remain there? Yes, for a long period of time, for 9 months at least, perhaps maybe a little bit sooner on Emily's schedule. Does it remain there? Yeah, it does. Does it reside there? Yeah, for a long period of time. But it does something more than just remaining and residing. It does something more important called relying. And in its reliance, draws from a source of power and nutrients in life that it couldn't muster on its own. Get this, the strength of a baby's connection shows. You know that that baby is not only residing and resting and remaining, but relying. You know that baby abides. It shows by the way it grows. You know that baby is resting and remaining and residing, but not relying to the extent to which it does not grow. Because you can't be connected to that kind of power and not produce, huh? At some point. Our ability to abide, brothers and sisters, is extremely important. And what's amazing to me is that this baby, Bethany, this little girl inside of Emily's belly, it is her natural inclination to abide. And I guarantee you at this point she's not ashamed of it. To not only rest, to remain and reside, but to wholeheartedly what? Rely. I think it teaches us something about children being children of God. Jesus says, unless you're like one of these little children, you have a hard time seeing the kingdom, for the kingdom of God belongs to such of these. You can't know the breadth and depth of a kingdom about my love, my grace, my mercy, my transformation in the world if you can't approach the throne like a little child and to abide like a baby, to rest in God, to reside in God, to remain in God. But resting, residing, and remaining is not enough if we're not what? Relying. And thus receiving something that we can't produce or manufacture on our own. Baby cannot live without a link. We cannot grow in God without our ability to abide. I did something this morning. This was from this morning, just a few hours ago, before I came to church and had 8:30 service. I cut this branch off from its connection. At one point, this branch, for the sake of clarity or our purposes of conversation or discussion or learning, this branch was abiding. Not only did it rest on the trunk of the tree, not only did it reside there and remain there, but it was reliant on the source of power that only the trunk could give it. This was the branch, the trunk could be seen as the vine. But I cut this branch from its connection, and it's in the byproduct, the results or consequences of being cut off from connection are evident. It's visible. This is just from a couple of hours ago. I'm astounded at how much this has changed even since 8:30. But I cut this branch off from its connection. And what's interesting is that it's a process. It's a slow process. At one point, after I cut it off, and for maybe a few hours after that, life looked pretty good. Full. Vibrant. Unfettered. But then, cut off from a source of true life by itself, well, we see what happens through time, don't we? It brings to the fore not only our ability to abide, brothers and sisters, if we be branches, and Christ be the vine, our source of life. It brings to the fore our ability to abide. Not enough to remain, not enough to rest, not enough to reside, but to rely upon, to draw a source of strength and power that isn't ours. Otherwise, cut off from connection, cut off from Christ, we do things on our own. And on the basis of doing things on our own, we see the result. It takes some time. It takes some time. But when we're severed from a source of life, of true life, life kind of looks the same. It takes the same complexion. Because I severed this branch from anything life-giving, its potential for growth stopped there. It stopped right here. So it brings to the fore not only our ability to abide, but it begs the question, brothers and sisters. It asks a question about the source from which we draw our life. And oftentimes I've spoken to people across the table or in the counseling room where they said, Jake, I would have thought that by virtue of pulling myself up by my own bootstraps and working hard enough and succeeding and being effective, I found myself in a vocation that I liked that made me a lot of money, and I assumed that the accumulation of wealth would have delivered the ultimate for me, but here I am, it seemingly, with a life that looks like a bag full of holes. How is it that I could climb to the top of the mountain, look inside the bag, and find nothing? And there's no greater disappointment than arriving at a point of life where you thought would deliver the ultimate satisfaction and ultimately to find out that it's disappointed you. Hey, it's one thing to remain at work and to reside at work and to rest at work, but if you're drawing your source of power and meaning and truth and life and purpose from the accumulation of things and stuff, We end up being branches that wither through time. Am I saying there's a problem with wealth? No. Am I saying there's a problem with success or effectiveness in the workplace? Absolutely not. When we talk about our ability to abide, to find our rest, to remain and to rely on a source of strength based on our own manufacturing success and effectiveness, we end up like a branch being burnt out with time. Because perhaps we're abiding in the wrong things. I've spoken with people who have gotten so angry over something that's happened to them, even 10 years ago. She said this, or he did that, and they carried some hidden internal resentment. And through time, life looked okay. It was all right to be angry. They deserved what they had coming to them. Life is still full. I'm unfettered. Life still looks colorful, but in time, being cut off from a source of life based on resentment or anger, you start to wilt a little bit. What happens when you rest in resentment and you reside in anger? Is it okay to get angry? Yes, I think we're packed with emotions, with their full expression. But when you find your source of life and power sucking people dry because of a bitterness or a resentment, it's only a matter of time before your growth stops and your decline starts to show. It's not that we have a problem abiding. It's just that sometimes we abide in the wrong things. I've been in relationship with people based on an internal struggle, on some type of remorse that they had. I've had plenty of conversations with people to say that would never darken the door of a church because they said, "Pastor Jake, God would never forgive me on the basis of things that I've said or done. That God would never open the door back for me." And so they cut themselves off. They sever themselves from anything life-giving. And life's okay for a while. But it's only so long that by virtue of doing things yourself that we realize our abiding in really unhealthy things shows. One can only do so much by themselves. Branches with nothing to draw from. I say this, brothers and sisters, because oftentimes people get a life in the complexion of faith twisted. A body, it seems to me, a body, whether it be individual or a small group, a body without community is oftentimes a branch without connection. If we fool ourselves into thinking that we can live into the fullness of everything that God has created us to be followers of the way especially, that we can do it in isolation. But when did you see a branch devoid of a vine ever do anything fruitful? The growth stops to a point. A body without community, brothers and sisters, is like a branch without connection. And I think it's fascinating to find that in the hallways of Scripture, as we turn the pages of the scriptural past, we find certain things that happen when people either by virtue of a fall or a decline or a decision separate or sever themselves from community. You know, since we're on the coattails of an Easter celebration, I think of Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came. He had, for whatever reason, separated himself from community and by virtue of doing that, missed out on a grand insight, a grand experience. And it wasn't until he was back in community, reconnected with a group of believers, that he saw the scars that sealed his faith. I think of people like Judas. In fact, these words are mentioned just after the time that Jesus shares a last meal with his disciples. And so many words says, "Judas, go and do whatever it is that you have to do." That for Judas, it was kind of a slow fade. It wasn't an immediate break. But there was something that happened inside of Judas that ultimately severed his connection from the body. And as a branch that sought out to do it alone, wilted with time. It wasn't like Jesus wouldn't have welcomed them back at the foot of the cross. It's just that a body outside of community is like a branch outside of connection. I think it's part of the reason why the prodigal son parable is so powerful. The son at one point had abided, was present had remained in the Father's house, had resided in the Father's house. But there came a point in time when a decision was made and there was a break, a severance in the relationship, and not only did he not remain in the Father's house, but guess what? He did not rely on the Father anymore. There was a famine in the land, and as a branch who tried to sort his way with devoid of a vine, things started to happen, and he couldn't help himself, and he got to a point of utter debasement. And I find it fascinating, brothers and sisters, that the story doesn't end in severed branches. The point of the story isn't to say this is what happens when somebody doesn't have the ability to abide. The story is about a Father through grace, peace, hope, and mercy has the capacity to make right the things that weren't right and to reconnect the things that have been lost. Thank God that as children we can leave the house and not just remain and not reside, but to not rely. But based on the mercies of God to the person of Jesus Christ, reconnects us, draws us back into the community where we can find out and discover just who we are and to whom we belong. See, that's what's different about our Christian walk. You know that? That's what's different. I say this as a note, and I can't spend a lot of time on it because I have to transition, but Christianity uniquely couches redemption as the root and righteousness as the fruit of that root. Christianity uniquely couches redemption as the root and righteousness as the fruit. Where in other worldviews, in other cases, what you're able to see is righteousness is the root, and the fruit of your righteousness is redemption. So if my good outweigh the bad, if I just do the right things, if I walk the right walk, if I talk the right talk, and I do things by virtue of my own manufacturing, maybe one day at the end, God will outweigh my good and the bad, and if my good outweigh the bad, then maybe I'm redeemed. But in the Christian walk, it seems that redemption precedes righteousness. The redemption is the root. And righteousness is the fruit. And on the basis of being redeemed, I walk and I talk in such a way not to earn God's grace, not to earn God's forgiveness, but because I already have. And the fruit of a life that's lived knowing that it's been redeemed produces a different kind of fruit. Jesus says they will know you by your what? Fruit. So let's look here a little bit. In every word, every verse, he uses the word abide. What it teaches us about a fruit that's lived, the fruit that comes as a byproduct of living a life that follows in the way. Let's look. If abiding means remaining, residing, and relying as a means of receiving something that you can't have on your own, grace, hope, love, forgiveness, everything that's tucked in a way that receives Christ. Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask. So what I glean from that is the importance of remaining in prayer. If abiding means to remain and to reside and to rest and to rely, part of this abiding business means remaining in prayer. To remain in prayer. Ask. If you abide in me and I in you, my words abide in you, then ask and it'll be given to you. And oftentimes people misappropriate that as kind of like a genie. Well, I have something that I want, so I'm going to rub the God genie lamp on the basis of what I want. The Father says he'll give me whatever I ask. But Jesus clarifies it and says, ask for whatever, ask for anything, in my name, and it'll be given to you. Ask for anything that runs in accordance with my character. Ask for anything that runs in accordance with the nature of who I am. Ask for anything in my name, and it will be given. There is something to be said about the fruit that comes by virtue of abiding, of remaining in prayer. And then this next one, residing in love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in not your love, not the love you've received from other people, but remain in my love. What's the love of Jesus look like? Anybody know? Something that's sacrificial, something that gives, something that descends, something that lays one's life down. I wonder, brothers and sisters, if we all, those of us who find ourselves in relationships, married or otherwise. I wonder how the complexion of your marriage or your relationship would change if you not only remained together and you resided together, but you abided and relied on one another. Because you can see many relationships, many marriages that go down a steep decline because they thought the extent to which they could abide together was remaining and residing. And I've spoken to a handful of people in spaces all over places I've done ministry where they said, Jake, I thought things were good for a while. I didn't know that the relationship had fractured and we were like branches severed from a vine. Things were good for a little bit. We remained and we resided. We remained together. We resided together. But guess what happened? They did not draw from one another. Draw from one another in a love that was grounded in the gospel. The sacrificial love of Jesus as a blueprint. We can remain at work and we can reside at work, but when we're drawing power and worth and meaning and definition by our success at work, it's like a branch severed from a vine. Jesus says, remain in prayer, reside in love, and then rely on in obedience. Rely, trust me. If you keep my commandments, if you love God, and as a byproduct of your vertical relationship with God, if you extend that love to neighbor as self, things will happen that are so powerful in the world that it'll blow you away because you're drawing from a power that didn't come from you. Remain in prayer. Reside in love. Rely on obedience. And he says, I've said all of these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. So friends, if we say we follow in the way, if we say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, hey, if we're not praying and we're not loving, and we're not obeying, how can we expect to have joy? How can we ever expect to arrive at a point where we experience the joy that Jesus teaches about? If we're not praying, we're not loving, obeying, how can we expect to have the joy? Where's the fruit? And that's the question the world's asking. You say you're part of something that changes the world. You say as branches you abide with the vine that does something powerful that you can't do by yourself. That by virtue of being connected, there's obvious power. Well, where is it? Where is the fruit? If you live like, walk like, talk like, breathe like, and think like, and do like someone for whom Christ is a stranger, what's all the work about? Remain in prayer, reside in love, rely on obedience. But it seems to me that this abide notion isn't completely finished. Because to abide, meno, to abide is to remain, to reside, to remain in community, to reside in community, to remain in relationship, to reside in relationship, to remain in church. To reside in fellowship, but also to rely. You ever looked at the branches of a vine? It's hard to distinguish one. You always see them in clusters. The sequoia tree is the tallest tree in the world, but you know the root systems are the most shallow? But they're strong. Why? Because they're so interlocked with other trees. The vines are strong, not because they're strong by themselves, they're just strong in community because they have some capacity to do this thing that we call abiding. To abide is to remain. To abide is to reside. To abide is to rely. But as a byproduct of relying and receiving a power that isn't yours, a powerful love, a powerful grace, a powerful mercy, a powerful forgiveness, a powerful everything, it's now our opportunity to reflect it. To abide is to remain. It's to reside. To rely. To receive, but also to reflect the very thing that you've received. When I look at a grapevine, I see the fruit, and the fruit is merely the reflection of the things that they've received. And I wonder about our ability to abide. When others see the letter of your life, the words from your lips, I wonder if they could begin to understand that you're drawing from a source of power that isn't yours. Do they? Do they? Maintain the ability to abide. And if you've lost connection, whatever that's kept you away from the fullness of a life of joy that Jesus talks about. Maybe today, when you approach this table, you can lay down the very things that have gotten in the way between you and a knowing relationship with Jesus, living in the fullness of community. Today is your time, your time for transformation. This might be the opportunity for you to take part in something bigger than yourself. And when you maintain the ability to abide, or you cultivate the capacity to, it's amazing how much you change and those around you in time see changing as well. Abide. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.